Our next speaker hails from Iowa. And when we chatted with him yesterday about an introduction, I asked him what we should say about him, and he says, "Well, I'm a farmer from Iowa." Many of you know David Nichols for being a very dedicated farmer, producer of quality beef cattle, and he and his family and their family enterprises market a lot of bulls annually. So without further ado, Dave, please welcome, and we look forward to your comments. Thank you.
It's good to be in Canada. This is, I was at the first BIF meeting when it was formed. Was anyone else there? All right. A lot of water has flowed under the bridge since then, and the thing that I enjoy about the Beef Improvement Federation is it was one of the places where you learn the latest technology and the problems and solutions that are around the corner. I'm going to talk about what I believe is a paradigm shift that's occurring in agriculture and the role that I as a seed stock breeder have to play in that. One of my best friends is a Canadian that immigrated to the United States, Glenn Kleppenstein. Many of you here know Glenn Kleppenstein, and the other day we were talking about the challenges in agriculture, and he says, "I feel like I'm riding a giant tsunami, and I don't know how to get off, and I don't know what I'm going to do when it hits land." So I'm going to talk just a minute about those things. I believe that we're changing from a supply-driven market to a demand-driven market. In the year 2000, there was 200,000 people in the United States with middle-class standard of living. There was 100,000 in China with a middle-class standard of living. In 2010, Dr. Smith, they're estimating there will be 500,000 people with a middle-class standard of living in China alone. I believe that's our future. Now, here's the good news and the bad news. This is a little, small, new ethanol plant that's 20 miles from Nichols Farms. 60 million gallon ethanol plant. It uses 21 million bushels of corn a year, and that's enough corn to finish 525,000 steers. I have three of those, Gary, within 30 miles of mine. There's the ethanol plants in the United States. Most of them are larger than that. You see some in Saskatchewan and through the places in Iowa where corn are grown. This is not a slide to make cattle feeding not profitable in Texas, but this was figured June 18th from a company that feeds 96 to 100,000 cattle a year all over the United States. And I'm showing this where a Texas feedlot in Hereford, Texas, where they have cattle, versus an Iowa feedlot in Bridgewater, Iowa. And this is actual data that they've had. They're losing $30.74 a head feeding cattle in Hereford, Texas, and making $41.67 profit because of co-products. So Dr. Smith, when we started BIF 40 years ago, and you may not have been at the first one, but you were there soon after, Dr. Smith is truly is Ponce de Leon. He's discovered the fountain of youth somehow. It hasn't affected his body, but it sure has affected his brain, because his comments are as young as they ever were. And we were talking about the Iowa cattle feeder and how we had to have perfectly marked Hereford calves because that's what the Iowa cattle feeder wanted. Well, Iowa currently is ranked sixth in cattle feeding, but we're soon going to be first. The last 3 years, Iowa cattle feeding has grown 10% a year, and it's because of ethanol. Don't think that I'm an advocate for ethanol, because I think it probably has about a 10-year life until we find other forms of energy. And those of you that are in the sand hills of Nebraska and Colorado and even in Canada, that think that you're immune from this, I got one word for you. W-H-E-A-T. Wheat is being planted all over the sand hills of Nebraska. Circles are going in. And I think all of us agree that water and food will become to the world's population what crude oil is right now. So, what are we as the seed stock breeders going to do? This is what's for breakfast. Eggs, bacon, flapjacks, some syrup, and some hash brown potatoes. What did we really have for breakfast this morning? We had composite genetics and transferable heterosis. The eggs are close to 100% composites. The bacon is 97%. The wheat would be close to 100%. The only thing on there that is not composite genetics is if you had a glass of milk. We as an industry have to exploit heterosis tomorrow. If we're going to compete against hogs and chickens and the rest of the world and stay in business. Nichols Farms has gone from wanting to produce the best bulls and sell the best bulls that then in the early 90s we decided that we were going to make our customers add value to their calves, and we've been working on that for the last 15 years, had our first genetic source verified sale in 1995. There wasn't any electronic ear tags then. And now what we're concentrating on is doing those things to keep our customers in business because they have very, very profitable alternatives to raising cattle or feeding cattle. It's remarkable what $6 corn and $15 beans, what it can do to your bottom line. The second thing we got to do is we got to select for rapid early growth. I'm not talking about how big they are at maturity or anything like that, but we have to select for rapid early growth. I went from the last 15 years raising corn in Iowa at 125 bushels an acre to last year I was 190, and I was using less nitrogen and less phosphorus than I was before, primarily because of genetics. But the one thing is we sell cattle, feeder cattle, yearling cattle, finished cattle, boxed beef, retail beef, Big Mac hamburgers, and steaks at White Table restaurants. Don't ever forget it. They're all sold weight times the money. And we've got to utilize current technology. There's a lot of current technology that we give lip service to, and I fear there are still people in the seed stock business that want good EPDs on their cattle, not because their cattle will perform better for their customers, but they think that's a marketing thing, that if they have good EPDs, why the cattle will sell better, but they will. They're not concerned as much about what happens to the cattle feeder and the consumer. We've got to utilize marbling EPDs, Dollars Beef and Angus, TPI Index and Seminoles, for example, retail yield EPDs, and utilize real-time ultrasound. We've got to do this tomorrow. We have DNA technology available, and these are the things that we're measuring at Nichols Farms: tenderness, hair coat, percent choice, yield grade, ribeye area, carcass weight, marbling, and pulled. That's what we're doing at Nichols Farms. We've been doing this for 6 years, I believe. And tenderness. Any bull, and we sell about 1,000 a year, any bull that isn't above industry average for tenderness gets his testicles cut out and he goes in the feedlot. We don't even tell our customers about this. We do it because we think it's our responsibility to be a good neighbor to the beef industry. If you buy a car and after 40,000 miles you have to replace the muffler on it, you're probably not going to buy that brand of car again. But by the same token, if somebody tries to sell you a car or a pickup and says it has a stainless steel muffler on it, you won't care much about it. I was just talking with Dr. Gibb. He bought a car several years ago at $60,000. He had to spend several hundred dollars on the new muffler. He traded it for a Toyota, and it went for $130,000. And he couldn't figure out why he didn't have to put a new muffler on it, and it was because they had a stainless steel muffler on it. We've got to start putting stainless steel mufflers on the cattle we're breeding. We don't have to, every trait that we select for, like disposition, tenderness, and some of these things that we're doing, we don't have to demand more money for them and so on, but if we're going to stay in business, we better put some stainless steel parts on the cattle that we're breeding. There's an organization that was founded, I don't know how many years ago, but it's the National Beef Cattle Evaluation Consortium. We always meet with the BIF conference. Dr. Pollack is the head of the board. I'm on the advisory committee with several other people that are almost all of them have leadership in the Beef Improvement Federation. And the things that we're selecting and doing research for is feed efficiency, RFI, healthfulness of beef for humans. There is roughly between 1 and 2% of the cattle that have the same amount of omega-3 as salmon, and it's 40% heritable. And we've got that research going. And Dr. Smith, here again, you talk about something to add to the value on a label. Think of going, I'd love to go to a hospital or a nursing home or someplace like that and say, hey, I've got beef that is better than salmon. And we can do it genetically. We can do it genetically. This is something that we've always done at Nichols Farms, is we aggressively have pursued marketing partners, and we've one of our partners is ADM, and ADM's a pretty good-sized company, friends. And then we've got a same relationship with Mariel, and we have all worked together. Our companies have all worked together for our Nichols Genetic Source feeder sales, which started in 1995. This year we will sell our 60,000th calf, and we started our feeder calf sale the same year that Miles McKee ran his first cattle through Ranch to Rail, and so we've had a great relationship with him on that. We also sell Nichols Genetic Source bred heifers. We don't sell them. We sell them for our customers. And then we've got 6 Alliance feedlots. And then we have we have 100 feedlots on our mailing list on email. And anytime we have anything to sell or so on, those are notified. Nichols Farms never collects any commission for any of the cattle that we sell. That's a part of keeping our customers in business. I'm going to close by saying this. This is critical, absolute necessity. First of all, I'm going to echo what Dr. Smith said, although I'm going to say it more in Nichols-ese. Nichols Farms has got 5,000 acres of the best black dirt in Iowa. We've got 1,500 cows that are as good as any cows that ever ate grass. We've got 2 machine sheds full of new Case and John Deere equipment. We've got 7 employees, and I've got a wife with extremely high-priced tastes. She majored in textiles and clothing at Iowa State, and she don't have many rayon dresses. Okay? I'm just kidding about Phyllis. But I want to impress on all of you and every group of students and busload of people that comes by, every one of those acres, every one of those paychecks, every one of those taxes came out of a purse or a billfold of a man or woman that was buying beef. As did the huge salaries of all the people in the packing industry. As the salaries and the strip malls and all the supermarkets we see. When you go in a Walmart supermarket, there's about, I think, 15% of the floor space devoted to meats. And by golly, that's where our income comes from. And these farmers ranchers, seed stock breeders, and industries who ignore their customers' real or perceived value and lack the guts or the tools to control costs are deemed to the trash can of history. For example, Rock Island Railroads, Braniff Airlines, Farmland Industries, and Enron. Smart people told Columbus the world was flat. He didn't insist and argue and do research to see if it was round. He got in the boat. Beef producers, their associations, and universities should harness the best minds and allocate the necessary resources to improve the efficiency and heterosis of their beef herds with specific genetic inputs while improving the tenderness, taste, and healthfulness of the beef. Thank you very much.
Thank you, David. Just before we release you, we'll take some questions, if there are any at this point.